Time for a little exploration. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. This is my second attempt at making this video. Yesterday I came here with that intent, but it was an abortive attempt. When I got here, things were not what I expected. So what's this all about? I'm in a county park. I'm in Saratoga, California, and Santa Clara County has an extensive park system for the citizens to enjoy. I picked out a particular park to visit because of its features, because of its location, and I wanted to know more about this location. We've lived in this area for more than 20 years, and I had never been to this park. This is the Sanborn Park. The reason I wanted to come here is because the San Andreas Fault comes through this park. Now, some of you may be familiar with the San Andreas Fault. Some may not, so let me fill you in. When we talk about faults, frequently we are talking about geological features, that is, the junction or the borders between two tectonic plates. Two or more. Tectonic plates are chunks of the Earth's crust which may move against each other. In Northern California, in this area, we have two tectonic plates in contact. One is the North American plate. The other is the Pacific plate. If these plates never moved, then we wouldn't have much to talk about. But they move all the time. And when tectonic plates move, they can build up energy from compression or shear. And then when that energy is released, they move. And that movement and release of energy is called an earthquake. Northern California is very well known for earthquakes. The San Andreas Fault is very well known related to earthquakes because the fault has generated a lot of earthquakes. The great earthquake of 1906 in San Francisco was because of the San Andreas Fault. The Loma Prieta earthquake here in Northern California in 1989 was on the San Andreas Fault. Because earthquakes are part of the experience living here in Northern California, people are very interested in earthquakes and interested in knowing more about them. The San Andreas Fault actually passes within a few miles of our house, but the area I'm talking about is privately held land, and so snooping around trying to find traces of the San Andreas Fault in that area would require me to trespass on people's property, and I'm unwilling to do that. The nice thing about parkland is we're welcome to be here, and I can look around. So I came here yesterday for what turned out to be an abortive attempt. So what happened? Well, I got here to this location, and when I stepped out of the car, the only thing I could hear was loud music. Now, we think in terms of parks being quiet, maybe birds chirping, the sound of the breeze coming through the trees, but loud music didn't match my expectations. So I investigated, and I walked in that direction and saw a pavilion, a place for people to gather, and they were having a wedding reception. Now, how did I know that? It looked like a wedding reception. People were dressed up. They had an MC, that is a master of ceremonies, and the MC's voice was being amplified by an amplifier. They had a PA system set up. PA stands for public address. They also had this music. The music stopped, and the announcer started talking to the crowd. And he announced the next song, the next dance. Now, all of this was happening in Spanish. This was not in English, but I could understand everything he said. Typically, announcers speak very clearly. They enunciate well because it's important that they communicate with the group. And so it's not surprising to me that I understood everything he said. He announced that the next dance would be the bride dancing with her father. So this was clearly a wedding reception. However, I wasn't invited to the wedding, so I couldn't join them. If you join a party, or in this case a wedding reception, and you're not invited, that's called crashing the party. We don't think highly of party crashers or wedding crashers because they're unwelcome. They're unwanted. In popular culture, you may notice that there is a group of people that crash parties and weddings, and they are relatively welcome, and that is celebrities. There are lots of videos online of celebrities showing up at someone's wedding reception, and they make some pictures, maybe they make some video footage, and everybody's happy with that. But I am no celebrity, I am not an invited guest, and I'm not going to go and crash their party. Okay, well, my purpose for being here was to investigate the San Andreas Fault and to investigate Sanborn Park. I wanted to take a little hike, look around, and see if I could find some physical evidence that I could identify that would show the presence of the San Andreas Fault as it courses through this park. When I got here, I talked to the ranger at the kiosk and asked about that. He said that they had no brochures, they had run out of them, and he didn't suggest that they would have any in the future. He told me to look at the signs, which I did, and they didn't prove to be very helpful. Cell service here is good enough to make a phone call. Certainly one could get emergency help here with a cell phone, but doing a web search and finding a lot of information about this place didn't work out because there really was very weak signal right here. So I walked around. It wasn't very satisfying. And then when I got home, I went online and did a deeper dive. That's a common expression. If you tell someone you did a deeper dive, you looked for more details. You endeavored to understand better. When I planned to come back here today, I knew that the wedding from yesterday would be over, and the chance they were going to have another wedding reception here seemed remote to me. So I showed up around 10 o'clock in the morning, just a few minutes ago. When I arrived, I was greeted by signs that directed people to a wedding that is going to be done here today in the same pavilion. However, I am early enough that it should not interfere with our visit. So I'm going to take a hike in that direction. There is a nature trail that is named San Andreas. There's also some information on signs down there, and hopefully that will explain where I can find evidence of the San Andreas Fault as it comes through this county park. So now I've started walking in the area of the nature trail I would like to explore, and I stopped at the pavilion where this wedding ceremony is going to be. So let me turn around, and this is where they're going to have a wedding. When I first got here, this was very busy. People were talking and doing a lot of things. They were setting up all these tables, and they were preparing for this ceremony. I didn't think that would detract from what I was going to do here, so I wasn't really worried about it. And then when I got back to the car to put the camera together, I saw a whole bunch of cars leaving. The people that set this up finished their job, and they split. They are gone. They appeared to be people paid to set up this event. Who knows? Anyway, they all split. They're gone. The place is empty. And I just ran into the photographer, and the wedding ceremony is not to start real soon. He said I would have plenty of time to make this video before it started. So let's get on the trail and walk a bit. This trail has quickly left the area where people gathered in the area around the pavilion. I had to walk through a place that they had set up a little playhouse. They put on plays, theatrical events. And when I walked through, they were assembling the sets in anticipation of a future play that they're going to put on in this park. I'll have to do more research on that because I had never heard of plays being performed in this park. Learn something every day. This forest is a mixed forest, predominantly coastal redwoods and Douglas fir. There are also broadleaf maples, some bay trees. The park information that's a little sketchy right now, it's not robust. The park information indeed tells us that they have coastal redwoods, but they also stipulate that they have sequoias. Now, I am not familiar with sequoia trees being located in this area. That's new to me, so again, I have to do more online research. But as I have said, my phone at this point is great for making a phone call, but would be unable to do a web search. There's not enough signal here. Having studied the map before I got on the trail, I would conclude that we started out on the North American plate, and if we encounter the San Andreas Fault, if we can find any evidence of the fault zone, then we would be encountering the Pacific plate. But my assumption, based on the map that I've studied, is that we are currently on the North American plate. I found this group of redwoods arrayed in a circle. You can see them around me. I'm standing in the center. As I turn around, you can see all these redwoods, fairly similar in size, irregularly spaced. The best explanation for this is that there used to be a redwood tree that was cut down probably more than 100 years ago, and the stump of that redwood tree would have been right where I am standing. The root system from these giant coastal redwoods survived being cut, and then they put up all these trunks that are arrayed in a circle around me. I've talked about this in other videos. The reason I'm talking about it here is it's a perfect circle. We can also assume that the stump rotted away. It's no longer here. So we're left with this circle of trees. You could also safely assume that they are genetically identical. They're all clones of each other because they came out of the same root system. There was a sign that explained that I was on the right path. There are very few signs here for someone who's very interested in always being oriented and always knowing what's going on. The lack of signs is a little frustrating, or the other side of that is it's an opportunity for me to be reasonable, to exert a little self-control and just be reasonable. Well, this is splendid. The sign here tells me I'm exactly where I want to be, even though I don't have a map. Directly behind me, there is a tree with a lovely colored smooth bark. On closer inspection, some of the bark is smooth and other parts of it are rough. That deep, rich brown color covers most of the bark. This is the madrone tree. Madrone trees are hardwoods. Their wood is very moist. They have a lot of water in the wood when the tree is alive. We have a lot of madrone trees on our property and in the surrounding area near our house. The wood from the madrone tree is beautiful, and it's valued for making spoons and bowls. The problem with the madrone tree is as it dries, it warps and cracks. And so it can be quite the challenge if you come upon some useful madrone wood and you'd like to make something out of it. There is a risk that after you've made something, it will either twist into a strange shape or worse, split. My wife and I took some training in wood turning. That is, we learned to make bowls and spindles using a lathe, and the madrone wood that we were given was beautiful. I wasn't successful making anything out of madrone because it always warped or it always split. Now, that doesn't mean I will be unsuccessful going forward. There was a large madrone tree that collapsed and a big limb was available. So a couple of years ago, I went out with a chainsaw and cut very big pieces of this wood, which I have been storing in the basement. That wood has very slowly dried. So when I use that to try to make something, it is likely that all the dimensional change from drying is already over with, and hopefully I can make something useful and beautiful out of this beautiful wood. It takes a lot of skill to turn things out of madrone. So far, I don't have those skills, but I strive to develop them. This is a long-term goal, not a short-term goal. Well, another surprise, I continued on the trail, not knowing what I would run into, and I ran into this. It is a bit of a puzzle. Here's a building. As I get close to the wall, you can see that these planks are rough hewn. So that's a term of art. If something is rough hewn, it's not made smoothly. These planks were cut with an axe. If you cut off planks or shape a log with an axe, that's called hewing the log. It's an old classic term in woodworking, and there's actually a tool called a hewing axe that is used to make things like this out of a log. You can imagine the skill that the craftsman would have to start with a log and turn it into a plank that is straight and smooth, although you might call this rough because it's rough hewn. Compared to the log, it's very straight and very smooth. This is not really a log cabin because these are planks. These are put on the surface to cover the surface of the building. But they're rough-hewn planks, and they were no doubt made with a hewing axe. You wouldn't make this kind of a surface using a sawmill because the saw blade would make it much smoother. This is an outbuilding, not an outhouse. An outhouse is where someone goes to the toilet. It's before indoor plumbing. And this is not an outhouse, it's an outbuilding. That is, it's an ancillary building for the main building, which is right there. So let me turn around and show you this puzzle. How strange is that? It looks like it's shrink-wrapped. Now, the reason that building looks like it's shrink-wrapped is it is. This building is in conservation. It's being protected from the elements so that it doesn't further deteriorate. It is owned by this park, and the way I interpret this is they are preparing for perhaps renovating and reopening this building at some point in the future. there are no open doors. There's no way to go inside that building, and I'm sure it would be illegal to do so. I don't intend on trespassing there, but I did look closely at a place where an electrical panel was visible. The electrical panel was labeled Sanborn Park Hostel. Now we can connect the dots. This big building was a hostel. It was a place for people to come, rent a room, and stay for a period of time when they're here visiting the park. Sometimes you'll hear the word youth hostel, because often it is young people who are willing to stay in the environment of a hostel to save money. So this outbuilding is related to the hostel. It's a very old building, but I can't refine its age any more than that. I can't tell you how old it is. There's a stone wall here, and it appears that the stone wall was made from the native local sandstone from this park, but the stone was shaped and positioned. This section of the wall has partially collapsed. There are no signs here that say we're not allowed to be where I am. It's not posted, it's not roped off, it's not cordoned off. If something is blocked and you're not allowed to go there, you could say it is cordoned off. So this isn't cordoned off. There are no signs that would tell us that we should be someplace else. This is an opening in the shrink wrap, and you can see a doorway. It has a little box on there with a combination, so that's called a lockbox, and that allows people with the code to access this building. There's an old pair of antlers over this doorway. This is a fascinating building. I wonder what it was like when it was open. There's another area where it is open and you can peek in. I don't plan on walking inside. It looks like the structure is braced as part of the conservation process to protect it. The decorations of these stone walls are fairly elaborate. This round object started out as a stone and was turned and fashioned into this shape. On the other side, there's another stone that is round. Well, you never know what you're going to find. I came out in search of the San Andreas Fault, and I went to the San Andreas Trail, and I found the hostel building. You could say this is in mothballs. That's a casual term. If something's in mothballs, it's in storage, and steps have been taken to prevent deterioration. Mothballs are chemicals that are used to prevent moths from attacking wool, for instance. And if you have wool clothing or wool rugs, you might put mothballs in the place where you're storing that wool. That would prevent moths from attacking the cloth. In addition to that use of the term mothball, it's fairly common for machines, ships, airplanes, and buildings to be mothballed. That is, they're put into a conserving storage state so that they won't deteriorate, with the idea of renovating and reactivating them later. The military, for instance, in the United States, has some ships that they thought maybe they would need to use in the future, so they mothballed those ships. And then as time passes, they can make updated decisions whether it makes sense to maintain them or send them to the scrapyard. There's a stream that is dumping into this little pond, so you can probably hear some running water. And then behind the camera, I'll turn around so you can see it, There's a large pond, a very big pond. There are a lot of kids around here having a good time enjoying this park. You may hear their dulcet tones, that is, you may hear their sweet voices. Youth having a good time. It appears that there's some sort of plant growing, covering the top of this pond. You don't see any water. You see water plants on the surface. There are no signs that specifically label this pond, but there were signs elsewhere that referred to Walden Pond. It may be that they have named this Walden Pond. I'm not certain of that. Of course, Walden Pond may be something you're familiar with, because that is a place, I believe, in New York, made famous by Henry David Thoreau. This would not be the same Walden Pond, but it's likely that it was named after the other one, the more famous one. I'm heading back in the general direction of the car. I came to the end of the San Andreas Trail, and I must admit I could not see any physical evidence of the fault zone. It may be my lack of skill in this respect, or it may be that these signs of the fault zone are very subtle. Perhaps a combination of the two. Whenever you're on a walk or on a trip, and you need to return to the starting point, you have some choices. One, you could try to find a different way back. Or two, you could backtrack. That is, you could go back in the opposite direction that you just came. Some people would prefer to go by a different route rather than backtrack. Sometimes when you're on a trip, let's say a car trip, and you find that you've come to a place that you can no longer proceed, you have to go back whence you came, and that would be called backtracking as well. On a car trip, I do not like to backtrack. I want to make forward progress, and I consider backtracking a kind of defeat. But here, I could go back whence I came along the same path, or I could find a different way. Of course, the downside of trying to find a different way is you can get lost. Usually, if you backtrack, you can retrace your steps in the other direction and be confident that you're going to find your way. Backtracking has that advantage. But I'm not retracing my steps. I am heading back by a different route, and I expect to get to the same starting point. Wish me luck. This is the road that leads into that hostel. And here next to me, there is a stone wall. It's very old and very long, and it appears that this stone wall is related to that hostel. I'm going to have to do some research. I may need to do another video that talks about that hostel. It looks like it may have quite the history. There is a sign right here that says Walden West Center. I ran into a bunch of kids with a couple of camp counselors walking them around in the woods. They were boisterous, having a lovely time, making a fair amount of noise, so I didn't make any video. And in fact, I don't make videos of other people. I don't have their consent to do that. But I do recall that several of the kids were wearing t-shirts that said Walden and Walden West. It looks like there's a camp here, a summer camp for kids called Walden West. Well, my alternate path took me back to the San Andreas Trail. So I am now backtracking to the parking lot. I've walked pretty much the entirety of this San Andreas Trail, and I saw some features that might have represented the fault zone, but nothing was really confirmed, and nothing was labeled by sign. I'm going to refrain from speculating about what I saw and whether it represents the fault zone. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.